catch up on all the live shows right here on africatechradio.com.
With over 87 million active gamers in Africa generating over $800 million in revenue, what trends are shaping game development and gaming on the continent? Co-founder of Player One and moderator of this special episode, Chima Ifeji, will be joined by the founder, Niger Game EVO, Kumi Adenikwebi, Africa game developer Doshima Anga, and African game developer working for a global studio, Obinna Akpan, as they share thoughts as to what trends are shaping, have shaped, and maybe will shape the gaming and esports industry on the continent. Well, I make welcome Chima, who is the moderator for this particular. Hi, Chima. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you so much, Anthony, for having us on this call. I mean, I can't really believe that at this point in my life, you know, growing up, I can't really believe that we'll get to a point where I would come on a show and we're talking about gaming.
Well, here we are.
I just really remember all the sneaking around and the hidings when you want to play games. You know, when you sneak out of church and maybe use your offering money.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, all that stuff.
Interesting.
Right. You know, like, mommy, look at me now. Right? So, thank you for the opportunity. And I'm really glad that we have these really awesome guys on here to talk about gaming with. And like you've already introduced them, we have Kumi. And we also have Doshima Anga, which is, we're going to get back to these names, right? Because I really think that's one of the coolest names I've heard in a long time. And we have Obinna Akpan, and we're going to just gist about everything. So we'll go and start with our guy Kumi. Kumi, first of all, interesting name. I've known about Kumi for 4 to 5 years now, and this is literally the first time I have heard his actual name, Kumi. I've always known him as Spectacular, right? Or Skeptacular. There's a way they call him in the gaming community. Very popular guy. So when you sent the flyer and you were, look, there's somebody from Niger Game Evo / Gamer will be coming on. I was looking through the names. I was like, I don't recognize any of these names. And then when I saw the picture, I was like, oh, this Spectre now. What's going on here? So, bro, it's really nice to actually meet or know your actual name, right? I'm not good. I might have a difficult time calling you that on this call, because I hope it's okay to just call you through the call. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And that Kumi basically doesn't exist anymore. even my wife called me Spec.
Wow. Man, talk about setting up a brand, man. Like I said, I've followed your work for a couple of years, and man, it's been truly, truly inspiring. How far you've come along, you know, the things that you've managed to achieve, from, you know, helping gamers across the continent, you know, across the country, with, you know, getting started with their careers, you know, hosting tourneys year upon year, you know, going on to set up the Game Evo, going up to setting up Gamer. You've done fantastic in the industry, man, and it's just really good to, you know, boot you on the score, yeah? So we'll start from you and just, you know, just give us a little nugget. Did you ever think that as a Nigerian, we would be at this point where we are gisting and talking about gaming as a career? Is that something you always foresaw growing up?
Nope. So basically, when I started gaming in 2007, I had something that I wanted to share with people. That's basically gaming. And I saw that a lot of people, I was a game center junkie when I was growing up. I basically used to tour around Lagos looking for game centers to play in because of bragging rights. So at some point I was like, this thing, let's try and, you know, bring it to life. When I was a kid, I always tell people I watched a movie called The Wizard. It was 1986, if I'm correct. Wow. It was the release of Mario Bros. 3, and they did it an esports tournament. That movie was my first contact with esports, and it just opened my eyes immediately. And since then, it never left. Wow. So when I started the movement, I always refer back to that day I saw the boy compete. With people wanting to be the best, And my idea was one day we will get to a stage where gaming will become a way of life.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know that it would get this big. But it was just going to host a big tournament one day. But I didn't even see the ecosystem. I didn't know that it was going to be this explosive.
Yeah. Man, like, you're very right. Like, the pace and the explosiveness of the industry in Africa and in Nigeria particularly has been really, really amazing to watch. Nobody would have really believed it would get to this point, right? It's amazing, right? And I'm really, really excited for what the near future even holds for us. Like, you saw Tony calling huge numbers when he started this competition. He was talking about 80 something million gamers across Africa, and I'm like, damn, do your parents know you're playing video games? it's so cool that we're here. We'll just quickly talk to our other guests, Doshima Anga.
Yeah.
Damn, God. That is such a cool name, right? So first of all, is that your legal name?
Yeah.
Let's start from there.
Oh, yes, that, but it's not pronounced that way.
Okay, please help me.
But it is.
Okay, so how do you pronounce it? Okay, I was going to say, I hope I was pronouncing it correctly, so I'll help you.
No, you are not. Okay, so it's a native name.
Okay.
So I know the one everybody will be more interested in is the Anga. The Anga is a native name.
Okay.
And it is pronounced Ange, not Anga.
Oh.
But then I go with it. I've been called Anga all my life.
Oh my God. Okay. For obvious reasons. Okay, the first one.
Can I quickly say something?
Yes.
Anytime I hear Doshima's name, it reminds me of a Japanese.
Exactly, right. Right, and it's so perfect that then she's in gaming.
So I secretly call you Boshimitsu. I haven't said that, but I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's
such a cool name, really.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, thank you.
So thank you for joining us on this call. So, yeah. You know, I did a little sneak peek at what you've been up to.
Okay.
It says you've been in gaming for over 4 years as a developer. And prior to that, you were just, you were a software developer working with, in a different sector, right? So what pushed you over? Have you always been in gaming?
No. Okay, so I listened to Kumi's beautiful story about how when he was growing up, he has always wanted to do. I don't have that kind of story. I love programming, so I started as a backend developer in a software developing company that provides services to basically any company. So they do both infrastructures and building custom games. And building custom games, I was a backend programmer. And I used Laravel. I started with Java, so I thought I was going to be an Android developer. And then my job took me to Laravel backend. And a lot happened. So I guess that period I was delayed on my, something happened and my deliverables were not coming. My KPIs were not really good that way. Okay. And I remember my HOD, an amazing man, but he said, if it was C++, will you be doing this? Why are you slow with your project? Like, what is this C++? Everybody keeps making me feel like as though, because I'm using PHP now, it's inferior to C++. Mm. So I picked up C++ just to see why I should that should come up in the conversation.
Okay.
And I started it. Then I trying to learn C++ to thinking I'll be better as a backend programmer. And I got into game development. And for some weird reason, SDL2 and C++ is one of like the first few things you see when you're just learning, when you want to move from basic programming in C++ to like maybe an advanced level. So I started that, and then somebody said, oh no, use Unity YouTube suggestion. And I started with Unity. Then I fell in love with Unity. I quit my job. I got my first job 2 months after.
Wow, okay.
And I'm still here.
And the rest is history, as they
that's
say.
The rest is history.
Wow, that's
the story. There wasn't I fell in love with game. I knew gaming was cool. So I love animation, anime,
okay.
And mangas. I love all of that. But
okay, that explains, that explains the name, but go on. Yeah.
No, my name was the best name. but I didn't, I always thought Gemma's, as far as Africa is concerned, is in it. I used to remember when I was in school, university, and people would talk about, they would play games, they use the university Wi-Fi to try to kind of download games. I'm trying to download anime, they're trying to download a game, and I'm like, what? We can't even view this in Africa, in Nigeria. Why guys watch? I didn't know it was possible. I tried. Yeah. Yeah, so that's it.
Yeah. I think we all had, or well, most of us had that same path as well, where we saw this thing we really loved and we were wondering, we kept wondering, is it possible to get to this level in this part of the world, right? We're not yet where we all want to be, but I think we're on a very, very, very good path to that point in Africa, in Nigeria.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, really cool stuff. And I think, I get your path of, you know, doing something that you think you are supposed to do, but then finding some other skill. Yeah, exactly, right. I started off as an Android developer as well.
Oh.
I thought that was my thing, right? But I'm not in programming. It's not it. I saw that I mostly enjoyed creating the interfaces and making it look good, as opposed to the actual backend and the functionalities. Right. And so, like, in time, I finally found my ground as more of a creative designer and a visual designer, and then, you know, a product designer. So I just relaxed and found my love for designing, essentially. So that's how I moved on to where I'm at now as a designer. So, yeah, really nice to meet you.
Interesting. Likewise.
Yeah. So I think you and Obinna as well are kind of on a similar path. But Obinna is a designer. Obinna... Or developer? You say, Obinna, your bio says you are a 2D, 3D game developer. Could you tell us a bit about that?
I would say I'm more of a gameplay programmer. The word game developer is like the word.
Okay.
Like everybody thinks when you are creating games generally, and you are mostly freelance. So I use the word game developer, but generally I am as a gameplay programmer.
Oh, okay. So
that just... the mechanics in the game. Sorry, you wanted to say something?
Oh, no, I think you started to explain that, because I just realized maybe you handle like the character modeling, the environment modeling, and all that stuff. Is that what you do?
No, that's the work of an artist or 3D modeler.
Okay.
I know the bits of it, I know a little bit, but generally the movement of the characters, things you see in the game, the shooting, the jumping.
Oh.
Anything the character does around the world, I'm the one that will program it.
Oh, so those breaking points we see in popular games where somebody jumps and just falls into like a broken part of the games, you guys are the ones responsible for making mistakes like that. Yeah.
Once you just hold your pad and anything the character does, I'm the one that's programming.
That's you. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Sorry,
punch through.
Oh,
no,
did you just hear what he said?
Yeah, I didn't think he cut that. Oh my god. Damn. Oh well, that's fine. So what would you guys say that, you know, working in this industry as Nigerians has been like, right? From a developer point of view, right, and you know, a gamer point of view as well, right? Like, how do you see the trends in gaming growing in Africa, right? I know we've had some very, very good numbers recently, right? I mean, I too founded a gaming company with a couple of friends, Player One, to help people like earn money playing games, and it was pretty decent as well. I think in our first week we got over 2,000 gamers signed up and active on the platform. Right. So, like, what would you say is the direction that we're going to as a continent, as a country? Now, talking from Nigeria, then moving on to the greater bits of Africa. Like, what would you say is the direction we're moving to as an ecosystem, like a game, as a gaming ecosystem? So, I want us to take it from a gamer's point of view, which is from Spectre. And I think Obina 2 is a game. I saw your bio that I think your username is even Bruce Wayne or something. Awesome name as well. I think you guys really have cool names, right? So how would you guys say, from a gamer's point of view, what would you say we're heading in terms of the trends in gaming? And also from a developer's point of view, this is now for Obina and for Tsushima. What would you guys say? Spectre, you go first. What do you think?
First things first, you're from Player One, that means your Chinox
partner. Yeah, Chinox was the one that mentioned you to me, yeah.
Chinox the legend, yes.
Chinox the legend, yeah, that's my guy. He's
actually a legend. He's one of the biggest Call of Duty, was the biggest Call of Duty community. I don't, the story of why he left, I really can't still picture till now, but yeah. So looking at working in esports in Nigeria is... it has been devastating, let me not lie, but okay, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, because unfortunately I'll say thank you to COVID for bringing out the gamers, because prior, before 2020, I was focused on console gaming, and immediately COVID hit, I discovered people like Chinook with the mobile community, and within 2020 I grew almost 10,000 gamers.
Wow.
Due to the mobile community. So it was obvious that the mobile gaming community is way, way bigger than the console gaming community. Because
absolutely,
you now add it left and right and say that how many people have access to buying a console for 500, 600,000 naira, and to buying a mobile phone as cheap as 100,000 naira, 150,000 naira to play that their mobile games. So I see in the next couple of years, especially Nigeria, becoming the hub for gaming and esports, because this is not bragging. If you look at how many game developers are in Africa making the waves, Nigeria, number one. If you look at the biggest esports teams in Africa, where are you going to look at? Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody will say, oh, what about South Africa and co? South Africa has first level entry because they've always had that investment from the Western world. We are basically the one growing ourselves without help from the Western world.
Yeah.
Imagine when the Western world hits Africa, when it's almost here, and it hits Nigeria, when and that time is almost near. So I see us in the next couple of years becoming the powerhouse of gaming and esports in Africa, controlling the game development community. How many countries did Xbox One do Xbox
Bootcamp?
How many countries did EAFC come and drop their server? They know where they know where the gamers are. They know where the pings are coming from.
Yeah.
We're 200 million people rich, and 65%, 70% are young people. So they know where they're coming to. So we are going to be the hub, and gaming and esports is going to be a very big industry in the next couple of years. So yes, I'm very, very hopeful. And what a good time to be alive. Yeah.
that's just a summary there. What a good time to be alive. I completely agree with you there, because you go online and you see big names in the gaming industries saying, tweeting, man, watch out for Nigerian gamers. Man, Nigerian COD gamers, they are on another level, right? I think it was inevitable that we're always going to get those servers, right? And that has started from last year. Yeah, last year. These things have started to come true. We have 5G now. More networks are building in to like increase the coverage of their 5G servers across the country. So like, Nigerians have always been at the peak of gaming over the last few years, and this was without servers, like you've said, right? And we have been causing a headache for our developed countries' counterparts and associates. Now things are starting to look better in terms of more servers are coming here, and our internets are getting better. It's only going to get crazier. I completely agree with everything that you said, right? And yes, what a time to be alive. I'm really excited to see what comes next. Yeah. So from a developer point of view, Tsushima Obina, what would you guys say? Where are we going to? When are we going to get African games?
I would say right now, the development scene in Nigeria, I wouldn't say is the best. We do have games that have come out from Africa, but we still need that one game that will put us on the map. Because unlike esports, thanks to Kumi, we've gone quite far. Even when I was on the scene back then, where we are right now, I would say it's a very big gap and step up. But the development world is not like you, it's just like what you still need to show that you have something. And once we have that one thing that says that yes, there's talent in Africa and we are willing to push the boundaries, I would say then we'll be in a comfortable spot for development. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think I really agree with that point that we just need that one blockbuster, one game that really puts us on the map. I know that we've been releasing a couple of mobile games on the app stores and the play stores, and to be honest, most of those games are really, let's say, like mini versions of other popular games. Like you see Nigerians maybe recreating games on tempo, like tempo runs, and you know, other similar games, but maybe they make it with like local characters and all that stuff. It just goes to show that we are up and coming, like there's talent there, but we just need that one big break, right? And then I also see that a number of focus too is on mobile gaming from our developers' point of view. I understand that access to console gaming obviously isn't cheap, and with the way our dollar keeps rising like Gary these days, it's only going to get worse, right? So I realize that maybe our developers for now are maybe focused on creating mobile friendly games that everybody has more access to, right? But I'm hoping that in time we'll get to the point where we start to have console games. There are so many folklores and so many stories and so many gods in Nigeria, in Africa, that we can make so many awesome games about. There's no reason why we should not have a Grand Theft Lagos, really, because Lagos is such an exciting city, right? And I think like all the stories we watch on Grand Theft, we play on Grand Theft Auto, Lagos is more exciting, right? And I just know that in a couple of years, we'll keep going at the pace that we're going to, everything is going to even out, everything is going to grow, and it's an exciting time. Like Spectre says, what a time to be alive, really.
Doshima, yeah, what's up? So
okay, sorry.
I like to chip in a bit in what you just said, which okay. is having our culture in games. Now, these people, when I say the people, the industry, the gaming industry, and the Western gaming industry, they have been trying that already. Okay. But the problem here is they do not have the data coming out of Nigeria or a couple of African countries. For example, I'll go as way back as 2010 or so, when Black Ops 2 came out. Lagos
was inside that game. Oh yeah, there was a Lagos scene in the game. Yeah, I played that.
Terrorist attack, Obilam Bridge, Surulere. Yeah. It was big. Resident Evil 5.
Yeah.
Had Nigeria in it, spending Naira. They were doing voodoo and everything in that game. But they could not see the data of people buying that game from Nigeria. But that game was sold out.
It was
in Nigeria.
Let me tell you what now happened. Yeah.
Yes. Now Nigerians will buy from vendors that buy from UK, Dubai, and Japan. All those data are going to those countries, making them feel they are the consumers, while we are actually the ones adding to this. So something happened yesterday. There was a partnership between Carry First and Sony. Sony invested a lot of money, undisclosed, into Carry First to help widen the PlayStation reach. Fortunately for them, Africa is a PlayStation rigged.
Yes.
But now what they are going to do, which I'm very sure of, is open stores in each country. You know, if you want to buy your PSN, you have to buy UK or America. Now you're going to have your PSN Nigeria, PSN Ghana, PSN Ivory Coast, PSN Cameroon. Data will now be flowing from each country.
That would
now
be something.
These people, when they see how many people are pinging from each country, they will now say, let's go to this country and invest. Actually, that's why I'm pretty excited with our partnership with Carry First.
You're very very correct.
They're coming.
You're very correct. Because we all have our PlayStations, and then we are registered as US users, right? And then we have to also buy the US cards and all that stuff. You're right. Like the numbers that they even have doesn't really justify the actual figures that are coming out of Africa and out of Nigeria, right? And with these partnerships that you've just mentioned, exciting times ahead, really, really. The guys at Carry First as well, just as you guys at Game Evo and Gamer, I think they're doing an amazing job as well. I think I'm not sure if it was you guys at Gamer or them. I think one of you guys were very core to helping with the COD servers going live. All right, so amazing job I think everybody is doing.
Yeah.
Yes. Doshima, what's up? What do you have for us? I'm going to pose one question to you as we start to wrap up, right? So my question now is...
I do want to chip in or add a little bit of... just to add to what Obinna said about the state of... for we, the game developers. I know Kumi has been saying a lot about the in the gamers part, and we did talk about development part. So for the development part, there were some wins last year. Some of the guys did major milestones, and it's something that is very exciting. Having Xbox come to Nigeria and also is willing to take some games, some custom-made games in Africa, in Nigeria, in Lagos here, and publish it and put on the, and have a publishing deal is one of some of the opportunities that I'm personally excited about. And then having communities like African Comic-Con trying to also train and help indie developers, because in Nigeria there are a lot of indie and solo developers. And ARC Fellowship in terms of placing or connecting developers to publishers, to marketers, such that the games that we are creating can become more popular than the mobile mini game, like of popular games, which you talked about.
Yeah.
There are lots of games that are being created, but haven't gotten enough traffic, enough publicity, enough funding for it to be able to. They are promising games. So in the end, it just ends up being we indie or solo developers portfolio when there is a good idea or something. But because there is no enough traffic or there's no support in terms of finances or technical know-how or whatever, or even logistics, it becomes the developer's portfolio, and then we now start trying to like look for a job outside just because of finances and all of that. But it's growing. There are more publishers coming in and wanting to work with local developers, which is one thing I am honestly excited about, which I wanted to chip in with everything that you said.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, absolutely correct as well. Exciting times as we head into the future. Things are going to get more interesting, right? And, you know, we'll all be here for it. So talking about the future and, you know, what to expect, I wanted to ask you guys for your thoughts on what you think some of the trends that we should look out for in 2024. We're just starting the year. We're just starting a new year. So as the year goes further down, what are some of the things that you think we would see or we should anticipate in the African or the Nigerian gaming industry in 2024? So if everybody could just give us quick trend ideas to watch out for, that would be awesome. Obinna, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. So the trends to look for this year, I would say I'm going to speak from my perspective and where I currently work, which is the mobile market scene. The mobile market isn't in the best state right now, so things to look out for this year would definitely be, if you're a mobile developer, you should try and focus more on hybrid casual games, because that's the core everybody's going for now, and also casual games, because hyper casual right now is in a very bad state and is oversaturated a lot. So most companies like Voodoo and the rest are departing from that current structure. So that's just from my own end. That is something, if you're a game developer and you're into mobile games, you should look out for in 2024.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for that. Completely agree, by the way. I have been so obsessed with video game, mobile games for the last 4 months. I kind of sold my console, trying to get a new one. So in between, I downloaded a lot of mobile games, and the addiction is insane. So I think it's actually unhealthy, if you ask me. So you're right, mobile gaming, casual games are a very, very important place for developers and gamers to also look in as well. So much fun. Yeah, thank you. Doshima, what do you think?
Okay, more people are going to come into the community in terms of building games. There have been a lot of people that have been excited. There's going to be more publicity shared on games that are being developed or has been developed. And I see a lot of partnership, a lot of idea pitching and idea development, prototyping, just testing the market that is going to be happening this year. And it's something that I'm hoping that, there are some projects that are in development spaces and have gotten some kind of publishing deal, mostly from Xbox, but it's not my place to sell because I didn't get it yet. So, but I am also excited for them, for developers who has gotten that far. And development for my own end, but I believe this year is a year where we developers are trying to be daring. Opportunities are happening and we are taking the opportunities, we are taking the chances to just show that we have what it takes to beat the games also.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. So developers should be on the lookout. It's going to be an exciting year for them, partnerships. Completely agree with that, by the way. I think we've been seeing that steady growing for the last year. So, yeah. Spectre, what do you think?
From my own end, basically a lot of new gaming hubs, gaming studios, esports teams are going to evolve. There's going to be a push in the international gaming industry into Nigeria. Hopefully, if the dollar, you know, the inflation issue in Nigeria comes to a halt, because that's also a factor that the industry should be looking at before coming in. So if everything stabilizes, we should have a very, very big 2024 in gaming and esports. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's for me. A lot of hubs, a lot of studios, yeah, a lot of esports teams, a lot of tournaments. The government is also looking for a way to understand what the ecosystem is so that they can also push into it. So I see, I expect a lot of big things happening.
Yeah, completely agree with that. I mean, I know in the last year, I know a couple of gamers that got brand deals from gaming teams outside of the country, you know, trying to like partner with gamers down here, right? And I think even you guys at Gamer, I think you guys launched the gaming hub, Carvin, if I'm not, I think that's the name, a week or two ago. So.
Gamer just did that.
Yeah. So, we'll be seeing a lot more of those gaming hubs and, you know, community building and all that stuff. So, exciting stuff. So I'm going to ask a closing question, and please, I would like everybody to take at least a minute, or less than a minute actually, to answer these questions, right? So the question is, what would you say that the work that you are doing, both as a gamer, as a community builder, or as a developer right now, what impact do you anticipate that your work would do for the community or your immediate community being Nigeria now? So
for me, I think my job from inception has been just to enlighten the community about the esports, gaming and esports industry, to enable us to know that playing games is not just for fun, that there's a career part in it, there's a way of life. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what I'm here to do, and I think that's what I've been doing for over 12 years now. I can definitely say that I've been part of the ecosystem that pushed out gaming and esports to everyone to understand that yes, it's a big industry and there's a career path in it. So I think that's basically what I'm here to do.
Awesome, thank you, Deshima. What's up?
Oh yes, yeah. So for me, I recently joined Advocate. They have a lot of things cooked up right now, and I'm very excited with what they are planning and my role there. So what I can say off the clock joining the community is I'm going to do my own contribution and hopefully inspire more women into joining gaming, even if it's esports or just development part. And just telling them that it's possible. It's not an alienated idea like I used to think it was. But that's it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, thank you. Obinna.
For me, I just hope that game that I built and the work I do at Africa Community as a community member to aspire or inspire other people like me, because I'm on this career path right now because of my love for game. And it inspires them. There is a career path and just your love for game can take you quite far. So that is.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for these insights. Really appreciate you guys being here and talking to all of you. Doshima Ange, coolest name I've heard so far. Really nice speaking to you once more. I hope you guys have an amazing year in gaming. I hope all your plans and the things that you guys have in store for us as a community I can't wait to see them.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to catch up on all the live shows right here on AfricaTechRadio.com.